The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God. Well, brethren, have you ever attended a motivational seminar? And if you have, you've probably heard many times how to unlock your true potential in life. And they teach you certain aspects of how to unlock that potential, so maybe you might be able to make more money, or learn how to live better, or have a happier way of life. How to feel good about yourself is one that's really popular, or how to relate to others in times of troubles. Maybe even how to get people to like you. There are so many different motivational programs in the world that some can help you to be motivated and unlock that potential. But brethren, what motivates you? And what is your true potential? Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Psalms. We'll just jump right into the study. In the book of Psalms, in chapter 8, Psalms chapter 8, picking up in verse 4 and 5, it says, "What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and have crowned him with glory and honor." See, mankind is this physical, weak, frail, short-lived being who God has placed over the works of his hands. God has made so many arrangements for mankind's comfort in providing and taking care of all of his needs, showing him a great deal of love through the sacrifice of his beloved son, so he could save man from total destruction. And through the power of his Holy Spirit, God is upon man and watches over, giving instruction to those who seek after him. So, brethren, today I would like to take a look at man and see several stages in his life where God has and will bless those who follow him, giving man great potential to where that potential becomes man's ultimate destiny. So let's take a look and begin with the story of man. It's found all the way back in the book of Genesis. So Genesis chapter 1, a story we all grew up hearing about and still talk about today in many messages. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, it says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. And then in the image of God created him, male and female created he them. So God created man in his own image and likeness. But have you ever wondered what man's expression may have been, or what it looked like at the moment of creation? Well, if you go back and you remember the 9/11 tragedy in this country, you may remember some pictures of firefighters coming from buildings, and they were completely covered in ash, but having this expression on their face of hollowness or unbelief. Well, maybe you might look at some statues, sculptures like Michelangelo or some other name artist, examining their intricate detail of their work to only see a cold, hardened image. Whatever the expression man may have had during that time that he was created, something happened to man. God instituted the first stage of man. And it's found in Genesis chapter 2. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, it says, "And the Lord formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." See, at that time that God created man, what really was he? Nothing, just an image, like in the likeness of God. Maybe like that lifeless statue, until God breathed into and entered his body and became that living soul. For man cannot live without God, for God is his creator and his very source of life. See, man for the first time was able to think, to talk, to reason, because of the change of his nature from that point. God placed Adam in the garden to dress it, to keep it, and then named the animals that God created. And then God made Adam a helpmate for him. Well, as the story continues, they both ate that forbidden fruit, and God had to do something for them. So he loved them just as he cares for us today. Picking up in chapter 3 of Genesis and verse 21. It says, "Unto Adam also to his wife did the Lord make coats of skin and clothe them." See, God had to make a sacrifice to atone for Adam and Eve's sin. And then he clothed them with the skins of the sacrifice. When sin is committed, there must be bloodshed for the forgiveness of sin. And as the wickedness of man continued to grow on the earth, God was sorrowful that he made and created man. See, God was willing to destroy whom he created, and from the face of the earth, both man, beast, and creepy thing, and the fowls of the air. And God repented, as we can see in Genesis chapter 6 through 8, that he was sorry he made man. But then he found favor in the sight of Noah. And since that, man has been repopulating the earth, and since that flood, but has been in constant turmoil with God's way of life, wanting to make his own decisions, becoming mighty in his own hand. So as God watches over the world, he sees the foolishness of man battling his own carnal nature since the first sin in the garden. The animal sacrifices throughout the Old Testament were instituted by God to wash away the sin of man, but also to remind mankind of the ugliness of sin and the destruction it causes. So Jesus Christ then would soon come on the scene several thousand years later, and on that scene to take place as the ultimate sacrifice for man, to come to this planet to do the will of his Father, giving himself as a perfect sacrifice for the creation he'd created. So the second stage of man through the forgiveness of sin, man has the opportunity to inherit eternal life through Jesus Christ. So turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 3. In the book of Romans, chapter 3, picking up in verse 23. It says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be the propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sin and our past through the forbearance of God." So Jesus Christ came to this earth proclaiming the gospel of the good news of the kingdom of God, to show man how he needs to repent, teaching him how to walk from his wicked ways, but yet also introducing us to his Father. In all things, Jesus chose to do the will of God. He was man's atonement, so man may be reconciled with God. And as Jesus personally taught his disciples the way of God, today we have the manuscript to read and to meditate. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 4. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, it says, "But he answered and said, It is written, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." So, brethren, far too often, Satan takes advantage of our weak circumstances. He wants to tempt us by trying to remove our focus from God and placing it on our own needs and desires. See, temptations are often the strongest immediately after we may have been remarkably blessed or favored by a blessing from God. And as God gives to us his blessing, Satan is there trying to destroy it or take it away from us. See, we need to be armed with God's word. And when we are being tempted, can we handle it the same way that Jesus had done, being filled with positive declarations of Scripture? So how well do we know our Bible? See, physical food will only fill us temporarily, but the Word of God is everlasting. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 3, it says, "For what the law could not do, in that was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh." So our sinful flesh was devoted to death. But Jesus came in the likeness of man, being pure from sin, condemned that sin which was in our flesh, being sentenced to death, and through his sacrifice, sin can be destroyed, and man can be delivered. In verse 4, it says that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So seeking God through his word helps us to define what sin really is, so that we can continue to identify it and keep it from entering into our life. And those who seek after God's Holy Spirit always strive to please God in everything that they do. See, having this humility to serve God, wherever man may be placed, are they serving in peace and harmony as God reveals, holding fast to the promises that God gives to those who seek him? See, has our nature changed to where God is pleased with us, and we can rightly identify sin from righteousness? Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and picking up in verse 6 and 7, it says, "Your glorifying is not good. Know you that a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. For Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us." See, Jesus came to be that ultimate sacrifice for sin. And since that sacrifice, only a few in the world truly understand what God and Jesus Christ had to give up for mankind to inherit life in the future. In these verses, there's a couple things that we could look at. One is, we're to remove leaven that represents sin from our life daily, and to walk, and the second one is to walk in the perfection of God, or the newness of our Lord Jesus Christ, being perfect and holy in the sight of God. See, Jesus Christ gave himself once again for our sin, that we might be delivered from this present evil world, according to the will of God. Jesus came as that sin offering to God on our behalf, so we can once again be saved from sin. Jesus told his disciples in John chapter 14, verses 16 through 17, that he will pray to the Father that he shall give them another comforter, and it may abide with them forever. See, here Jesus is asking God to give man something special that will help guide and direct his paths for the efforts to follow God's commands. For the world cannot receive it because they do not know God's way of life. Brethren, that same comforter is with us today, abides with us. We can find it in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, and picking up in verse 38 and 39. It says, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children, and to all that are far off, even many, as the Lord our God shall call." So we can see God has a big family, and he wants to increase that family. As he has told Adam and Eve in the garden, "Be fruitful and multiply." We are to do the same. So it's up to us to help, teach one another, pull one another along, so we can be our brother's keeper. Because we are one body of many members, and all of those members are one body, also in Christ, being baptized into that body. See, and after this process of baptism, something again happens to mankind that hadn't happened since the creation of man becoming a living soul. That third stage of man is man's mind begins to change, to think more like God through his Holy Spirit. God pours out his Holy Spirit on those who have truly repented, being baptized, and choosing to live God's way of life for the rest of their physical born life. With God's Spirit now in man, it helps him in the way he thinks, looks, and reflects on God's laws, removing him from the way that he once walked from his former life. Man's physical appearance may be weak and can be destroyed, but God is not interested in our flesh of our bodies, but he's interested in our ultimate potential, our true destiny, being sons in his kingdom. As I said, he's interested in what we can become. Our strength must be on God, and it comes from God's Holy Spirit to keep us on the right path. When Jesus spoke to the Jews about the temple of God, they expressed that the temple took 46 years to build, and no one can tear it down and rebuild it in 3 days. Well, Jesus really wasn't talking about the physical magnitude of a building, but something else, something spiritual that they could not see or understand. Let's turn to John chapter 2. In the book of John, John chapter 2 and verse 19. It says, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Destroy this temple, and 3 days I will raise it again. Then the Jews said, 46 years was this temple in building, and you will rear it up in 3 days. But verse 21 says, But he spoke of the temple of his body." See, mankind must go through a conversion process to begin to look more like his creator. It's the process of removing the inferior and sinful nature so he may be able to be molded more like God mentally and spiritually. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16, it says, "Know you not that you are the temple of God, and that Spirit of God dwells in you?" What does that tell you? We are God's building, that sacred temple which God has reared in us. We are to respect our bodies, to protect what God has made sacred, helping one another, striving to be pure and holy in the sight of God at all times, following our examples of our teachers of old. For those who have God's Holy Spirit dwelling in them, where God is, his temple is also. But once we have answered the calling, there is, brethren, no turning back. In verse 17 it says of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, "If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy." So which temple are you? Are we about God's way, or do we keep one foot in the world because we still find some form of physical enjoyment from its sin in the world? See, if any man knowingly injures or corrupts or destroys or breaks God's laws or teaches false doctrine, God will destroy him and will take his name out of the book of life. See, we are to continue to grow in grace and knowledge, no matter how much we may think we know about God. It's not enough. See, our adult state of Christianity should far exceed above the natural state of our human reasoning. See, what are we doing to continually grow in God's knowledge? See, God is not a God of stagnant growth or stagnant ideas. Or is he a God that just settles? He's not a God that will just accept you the way you are. He wants you better than the way he found you. He wants us to be the best we can be, unlocking our true potential to where we get the most out of life. And as we become spiritual, mature adults, having the very mind of Jesus Christ, the things we speak and reason with are to be more correct in the line with God, leaving behind the manners of human nature in our life. Turn with me now to Ephesians chapter 6. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may abide and stand against the wiles of the devil." See, the more we become like God and take on his nature, the harder Satan is going to try to attack us and destroy us, by putting animosity between us and God and each one of us in the body. We must be confident, strong soldiers of God, ready to defend, always on our knees, receiving God's word and defending it at all cost. following our orders and our Lord and our Master. Failure is not a word that we should have in our vocabulary. Because as we wait on Jesus Christ to return to this planet, as he comes down to fight his enemies, Christ is coming to establish his Father's kingdom and bring the reward to his saints. See, God gave us life. He removed our sins. He gave us a piece of his Holy Spirit to know him. But then, brethren, the best part of his plan is yet to come. The fourth stage of man is God changes our body to where we now completely look like him, becoming his very own sons born into his family. Well, brethren, as we know, in 2 days we're going to be observing the Feast of Trumpets, the day that our Lord returns and sets up God's government. Are we going to be observing this day because we are commanded to do so? Or are we attending because we desire to worship and fear God, to gain understanding on what God has done and continuing to do for us and all of his people? Let's turn to Psalms chapter 82. In Psalms chapter 82, it says, I have said in verse 6, Psalms 82 and verse 6, it says, I have said that you are gods, and all are of the children of the Most High. But you shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. See, as we wait for this day to come to become reality, God calls things today as they are. God has called us sons of God, not because of our greatness, of what we've been able to accomplish, but because of the greatness of God. As we live in this physical life, we are in training for something really big, to be kings and priests in our Father's kingdom. See, the mortal life we live today is subject to sickness and even death. But if we stay faithful to God's truth, we will be crowned with an everlasting body, one that has power and glory. Let's go to 1 John chapter 3. In 1 John chapter 3, and picking up in verse 2, it said, Beloved, now are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, and we shall see him as he is. So John here is speaking to those who are begotten of God, and who is a worker of righteousness. It is not yet manifested what exactly we're going to be. We just know we're going to be like Christ when he returns, and being the children of God. So we do not know the state of that glorious excellence in which we will be raised in the resurrection and at the return of Jesus Christ. Our frail bodies shall be made in the likeness of Christ's glorious body, and we shall see him as he is in all glory and majesty. Turn with me over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 15. Sorry, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17. It says, Therefore, if any man be of Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation. So when we are first called to the truth, God began to lay this foundation in our life. Through baptism and the placing of his Holy Spirit, a structure began to be built on that foundation. Our old way of life begins to be transferred or transformed into a new life of righteousness. And when Christ returns, that structure will be complete and will be perfect in the eyes of God. With all the poles of this world, are we setting our mind on God, focusing on our ultimate destiny, the kingdom of God? Brethren, we have been called out of this world to learn a new way of life to live. And God has given us a great start and a new beginning. Do we really understand what we have? Are we preparing ourselves, obtaining the training that we need for the job that we will have in the future? Because at this stage of our life, we're told now to watch and pray, making ourselves ready when our Lord returns. And when the sound of that seventh trump is sounded, will He see us ready, coming down from heaven with great authority and gathering the dead and the remaining saints to have their bodies being changed from flesh to spirit, and the fourth stage of man will be completed. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 15. In 1 Corinthians 15, a few pages over, and picking up in verse 50, it says, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot enter or inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. And in the moment of a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." The final stage for the converted man, and a new start or new beginning for the rest of mankind. See, Jesus Christ ruling his kingdom with a rod of iron, giving justice where needed, and showing mercy to them who need mercy, but with love to everyone. All of this was planned from the very beginning when God and Jesus agreed to make man after their own image and likeness. What a wonderful truth to know and to be comforted with. So let's turn back where it all started in Psalms chapter 8. In Psalms chapter 8 and verse 4. It says, "What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and have crowned him with glory and honor." God allows man to go through so many stages of his life, so he can be refined and purified and armed with all the necessary knowledge to be prepared for their ultimate destiny, being born into the family of God as literal sons of God. So, brethren, may we have a very profitable and joyous Feast of Trumpets.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.